Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an honest review of 2021's Titan. Myself and Stu are going to get stuck into this one right now. Stay through the length of the video to hear our honest thoughts based on the winner of the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, and it's the latest feature film by Julia De Corno, who also directed Raw. But right now, let's get into one of the most mental films relating to cars. Not as mental as Maximum Overdrive, though.
Close.
Here is your summary of the plot. We have a woman who has sex with cars, becomes pregnant, takes the identity of a lost boy, befriends the father. He thinks that she is his son, then finds out she's not, and then has a baby with a metal spine.
That's basically the review, isn't it? We're done.
But yeah, the entire time I was like, what is she going to give birth to? It's gonna be like, imagine if it was like a Hot Wheels.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like a little car, and then it's gonna be like, oh, go away, please go away.
But this was absolutely mental.
It seemed like really disjointed, if that makes sense. Like, it seemed like a load of random ideas had just kind of been thrown together. Like, oh, we're gonna have this car baby, and oh, there's a missing child, and oh, he's a fireman, and oh, he takes steroids, and oh, the mum and dad have broken up, and just thrown them together a little bit and ended up with, it's not unwatchable, but at times I was just like, what is going on? Like,
yeah, it was oddly structured, because you're introduced to a woman named Alexia, and we see her at the start as a young girl.
Hate her from the get-go, isn't she? Oh, she's like, as a parent myself, there is nothing more annoying than like a child that's deliberately trying to wind you up. Instantly was like, I hope she dies.
Well, she nearly dies.
Nearly dies. She's nearly dead.
She is taken into hospital. She has metal implanted into her skull, and it leaves like a very distinct scar on the side of her head. And then in adult form, also known as being grown up,
adult form, she's evolved into an adult.
She is now like a stripper dancer who just is sexually aroused by cars.
I mean, yes, which is odd. But before that, she's like, obviously we see her, you know, the car crash happens because she's a twat and she took her seatbelt off in the back of the car. The dad then turns around to try and get her to sit down, crashes the car. But then they release her from hospital, right? And the first thing she does is she runs over to the car and kind of strokes it, gives it a big hug, and then sort of kisses it. She fucking loves it, doesn't she? She is all over that car.
If you've got a thought about the symbolism of why Alexia is attracted to the cars and gives birth to a mechanical baby, throw them in the comments.
And then she goes home, doesn't she? She goes, which her home is like a warehouse, which makes no sense, but there's a big bang on the door. Who's banging on the door? Oh, it's a car.
Is the car like sentient in that case then? Well, I guess it must be because it impregnates her.
Yeah, they go at it because it's knocked on the door and then it's just sat there in the middle of the warehouse revving at her, and we end up in that weird bondage scene.
This is going to be a hard video to edit. On screen, I'm not going to show it, but she does bang the car, assumedly by the gear stick.
But then, yeah, fast forward to the next morning, right, and she's kind of, you can see all her, like, legs are battered and bruised, so it obviously gave her a good old roasting. And then you see that she's, like, being filled up with oil.
Yeah, this is an odd thing that continues throughout the film as well. It, like, secretes from her body. Like, it comes out of her nipples. It, like, lactates oil, and her, like, vagina leaks it as well when she's, like, trying to give herself a forced abortion, I think, with the kind of hair pick that she's got her hair tied up.
Yeah, and she starts bleeding oil, doesn't she? Her, like, skin starts to crack, and there's always oil. She vomits oil at one point. She meets back up with that girl, and like you said earlier, they kind of enjoy each other. She nearly bites the ring out of her nipple, which is a bit weird. And then, yeah, she just murders her, obviously.
Yeah, she becomes a serial killer. Like, it's not really suggested towards the start of the film why she would become a serial killer. It's just quite a really left turn of characterization, which does put a lot of shock into you when you're watching it, because it's so sudden and unexpected.
Yeah, it's just very sudden as well. She, like, kills the man, and then just very quickly it's like, oh, now she's killing everyone. It suddenly felt real Kill Bill.
Yeah, it does have that about it. especially in the house.
I mean, the first guy that comes downstairs, she's like, oh my god, like, there's this dead woman on the sofa, I'm gonna have to kill him. That one's quite brutal. I quite enjoyed that killing. She like puts the chair, she puts like a stool, doesn't she? She kind of batters him with it.
Awesome.
And then puts
kill.
The like one of the stool's chair legs into his mouth, and it's sort of pushing down on it and can't really do anything with it, so she just jumps on it.
Yeah, it's nasty, and you hear the crunch of the leg.
Yeah, and then after all that killing, she just goes to the sea to relax, and there's just someone watching her smoking a cigarette while she burns her clothes, but all of a sudden there's just like e-fits of her everywhere, and she suddenly realises the police are all looking for her, so this is where she thinks, shit, I need to disguise myself.
And that's when you can see in the background that there's a kind of missing persons image of Adrian, who is the person that Alexia eventually takes the identity of, and because Adrian's assumedly been lost many, many years ago as a child, it's only an artist's interpretation of what he might look like now, which gives a reason as to why Alexia can pretend to be Adrian. And that's when she meets Adrian's dad. So he's like part of an emergency response unit, and also has like lots of other young guys working for him. It's kind of implied that he is gay, because he not only has some very intimate scenes with the young guys who work for him, nothing explicit, but just kind of you can sense that he's got attention and an attraction to them, but he then later down the line becomes attracted to Adrian.
I got the feeling that Adrian had maybe run away from home, because the dad also says, like, why are you always trying to leave? Like, why are you always trying to get away? I had a feeling like the kid maybe left because the dad was abusive. That's like the feeling that I got.
Yeah, it's not like overly explicit, but he does like multiple times kind of like kiss her, him.
A bit awkwardly, isn't it? Yeah, like, and a bit, yeah, almost like sexually.
We learn from a woman who is the dad's ex. She says to Alexia, I don't care who you are, because she's clocked on to the fact that this person is not Adrian. Don't hurt him and be there for him because he needs someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then down the line, the dad also admits, okay, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, I don't care. You're my son. So it's almost as if he's formed a bond with this person, thinking that she's Adrian. But regardless of the fact that she isn't, he's just filled the gap in that life of a friendship and a family that he hasn't had. During that time period, he's become so close to her that he doesn't care about that fact anymore. You are almost like a stepdaughter to me now, and I just still want you to be a part of my life.
He almost starts off being like obsessed with almost like what a man should be. He like takes steroids to work out, even though he's clearly not strong enough to even do chin-ups at one point. He's seen throughout the film like upping his steroid dose progressively, and it makes him quite ill at times. At one point he tries to fight the girl thinking that she's the son in some like weird macho display, and it's almost like he's got like these weird male superiority complex issues. He's obviously just very strange, but very like lost as a human being. And then it just kind of got weird. Like at one point her belly's itching and she's scratching, and her fingers just go straight through her skin and hit the metal that is obviously in her,
like the womb.
At that point it's like, well, I know this is weird because it was like a car impregnation, but we've kind of come away from that. We realized that there's something, you know, it's like you're impregnating with a car, we've got that. And I kind of saw past that and was just watching the film for like this weird like family scenario playing out. Like, what is this film? Like, what is it trying to be? Some weird supernatural thing where a car impregnated a woman and we're going to watch her give birth to a car? Or are you trying to be about this weird like family dilemma? Or are you trying to be about this like murderous woman? Or like, I just couldn't figure it out.
It's like it's got a lot of different ideas that could be a whole film in itself, and they don't really interconnect together. But I think that because the car part of the film and the family part of the film are so vastly different, it's hard for them to link up in a meaningful way.
Yes. Not unwatchable, but just very difficult.
Not to say this film isn't serious. It takes itself incredibly seriously, and it is directed really well with beautiful like cinematography, but it's such a strange draw having I Fuck Cars just latched to it.
I mean, I guess they didn't overly do it.
No, that's true.
Which was quite good. I didn't find it unwatchable, and at times I found it relatively intriguing.
It's incredibly strange and has a plot that is unlike anything else I've ever seen. It really does hook you and keep you there because of how odd it is. There was never a point of the film where I was unengaged, because I was just like, what is going on? And I really want to see where it goes. But I feel like like the culmination at the end of the film didn't really connect the dots, and even throughout the film I was quite unaware of where the dots were aiming to try and be in terms of a deeper meaning. And it handled a lot of different engaging ideas in a way where it was tough for them to slot together, and it felt like two or three very different films, but in a really well-made movie. Well, Ghoul Gang, did this film make you go,
Or did it make you go, vroom?
Things that make you go, vroom.
Meep, meep.
Remember that fucking John Tickle?
John Tickle. Let's go.
What a geezer.
Here's one for you. What do you call a male ladybird? Things that make
you go, vroom. If you would like a comment down below on if you felt similar to us, that you were somewhat lost in the movie, or you're trying to, you know, find some deeper meaning there, or if you think you've cracked it and you want to share some ideas, please put them down below in the comments. That was our honest review of Titan. Join us next time for another episode of Friday Fright Time. Please subscribe to support the channel, and thank you very much for listening.
Vroom.